Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm Melody Cedarstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. I'm here with my co-host, Stafford Adisk, to bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events for Thursday, August 25th, 2016. Good afternoon, Al.
Hi, Melody.
We once again, just a little bit of pressure on gold, nothing major today. We have, 180. $1.80 for gold to the downside at $1,323. Silver is down, it's holding its own at $1,861. Platinum was down 6 at $1,075. And palladium was up 5 at $691. The USDX today was trading just a little weaker, 0.01, at $94.76. Crude oil was up 53 cents at 47.30. In the paper markets today, you have the Dow down 32 points at 18,448. The NASDAQ was down 5 at 52.12. And the S&P was down 3 at 21.72. 10-year yields up just a little bit, 1.58%. The euro 1.13, of course, that's a little bit stronger with the dollar down, but it is up 0.14, and a quiet evening both in the Asian and European markets. So, again, everyone is holding their breath to wait and see what Janet Yellen has to say tomorrow. And
it, Do you think she'll have anything to say?
She's going to be saying the same thing as she always says.
Which is perhaps, which is probably not
much. Data dependent.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're going to start. They have to start raising rates, and but they're not going to do anything until after the election.
Yeah, I don't think they're going to do anything until after the election. We shall watch and see. She could surprise us, but I don't think that's, I mean, if they do this before the election, they're giving congressmen and senators screaming for her head if they have another adverse reaction of the sort they had last time, last December.
And, you know, I continue to hear or read various publications that if they raise rates, gold is going to go down. Well, you know what, folks? They raised rates in December, and look where we're at gold. So, you know, we're not in a normal market. And you can go back 20, 25 years, 30 years, and you can look at when rates when they increase rates. Gold has always done well. So again, you know, people expect knee-jerk reactions and no, you have to look at gold with a little bit longer term, a little bit longer view. And ultimately, gold is going to go much higher. Silver is going to go much higher. And we're all going to be pleased with our decisions of owning gold and silver. And one more before we go on, because there's a lot of things to talk about today. And I don't want to stay focused on gold. But I did read a website where they were pitching Perth Mint certificates, and their tagline was "Gold you can fold." It's like, you know what? I don't want to fold my gold. Really, I don't want to fold my gold. So again,
make it into paper airplanes and origami and things like that.
Okay, yeah.
It's not as if the paper is completely useless, and if it's soft and absorbent, you can hang it on a nail that's in the outhouse. But if you want gold, probably you don't want to put it on a nail in the outhouse.
No. And again, overseas storage, your gold does not have to be in another country. I mean, come on, folks. You know, give us a call at 800-375-4188. And I did just want to make this little – there was an Australian man who's, you know, he spends his weekends with a metal detector, and he was always prospecting for gold. He unearthed a 145-ounce gold nugget.
Yep.
It's valued at about in U.S. dollars, it's $190,000. But this was announced this discovery by Mine Lab, which is the metal detecting equipment that he was using. And so, nice little find. The guy who found it actually dubbed his find Friday's Joy.
He found it on Friday.
It's Friday's Joy. So it's nearly double the weight of another Australian prospector who had found a nugget. I think it was 87 ounces, I think, that he found back in 2015. So
when I was I lived up in Oregon for a little while, a couple of years ago, along Eagle Creek, which is just a spectacularly beautiful place. And a friend of mine went over and met his mother a couple of times, and she had to be in her 80s, I think, at the time, maybe even more. But anyway, at least in her 80s. She had photographs of her holding gold nuggets the size of chicken eggs back when she was a girl. The gold was so thick. They still mine gold up in that area, but it's nothing like it once was. I mean, it was out on the surface of the ground in places where you could pretty much just pick it up. And it was an extraordinary, just, I mean, and here she is, picture her as a young woman holding gold nuggets the size of chicken eggs. She said her grandfather, whoever she was, I don't remember who she was living with at her family at the time. They had a couple of buckets out in the barn where they hid their gold nuggets. They just stuck them in buckets in the barn. Nobody'd think to look in them and blah, blah, blah. But it was, just imagine a time when you could just walk around and you could literally find gold nuggets, sometimes the size of chicken eggs. Pretty amazing.
Yes, and I know panning for gold, I've done it for many years. It's hard work. So it is much nicer just to walk around and find it than to actually pan for it. It's a lot of hard work. Or just buy it from Discount Gold and Silver Trading. What's next, Al?
I don't know. We were talking a little bit about people who want to buy paper gold and whether they are – the implications, are they really living in the real world or not? Do you want paper gold? Are you crazy? Come on. You know, the idea that you keep your gold in a foreign country in order to protect it against the government confiscation by the government of the United States – again, if the government of the United States ever decides to confiscate privately owned gold in this country, what makes you think the governments of other foreign countries aren't going to do the same? What makes you think your gold is going to be any safer in a vault in Hong Kong or Indonesia than it is in the United States, assuming you want to put it in a vault in the first place? I mean, when you get into gold, this is not the idea behind gold. Fundamental idea, at least at this time. It's your insurance against a very difficult, possibly difficult economic and political situation. If it goes as bad as some people think it will, it probably won't be that bad, but still, if it moves in that direction, where do you want your gold? It's like keeping your spare tire for your car up in Indianapolis, because you get a better deal, and it doesn't take up any space in your trunk, and they promise they'll send it to you if you ever need it. It just doesn't make sense. This is something you keep around. It's part of your first aid kit. It's part of your emergency supplies. This is something that, within reason, you've got to keep this stuff, at least part of it. It's got to be close.
And you know what? Well, I just want to say, and then I do want to talk about pensions and so forth. And it doesn't matter how much money you have. People think, I have too much money to put in gold. No, you don't. You need to protect the money that you do have, regardless of the amount that you have. Now, you can diversify. You can spread your risks. Then you have the ability to spread your risk a little bit more. But you really have to make common sense of your purchases of your gold and silver and how you do it. And, of course, actually, the more you have, yes, the more you can diversify. But again, folks, I read a lot and I read. I'm always up on my competitors and I know what they're doing and I have clients who call me and tell me their stories and their heartaches as far as how they were, treated and so forth and taken and overcharged and so forth. And, you have to stick to the basics and convert that fiat currency into something that's real. That's what it's about. It isn't about bartering. It isn't. I mean, sure, you'll be able to do that. And sure, you need to diversify. It does depend on where you're at. We're all on different budgets. We're all at different, positions to our budgets and our wealth that we have and that you have. So be sensible about it. And give me a call. And, I'm not a financial planner, but, I can certainly give you some advice, my opinion. I can give you my opinion on what you should be doing and so forth. And don't let numbers confuse you on what you should and shouldn't do. Don't let someone tell you that you have too much money, that you need to put it in the Perth Mint and get some gold that you can fold. Don't let someone tell you you have too much money and that you should be storing it overseas.
You have to take responsibility for it, your decisions on this, and a certain amount of common sense. Again, if there's ever time when the government of the United States starts seizing privately held gold, I can guarantee you that time will be mirrored by other countries that are at least seizing foreign-owned gold. Right? I mean, are we really going to bet that the government of Indonesia, for example, maybe it won't seize gold from its own people, but if it's got a vault, it knows that this vault is storing gold that's from people in the United States. Do you think they're going to say, we dare not seize that. That's special. I doubt it. And on top of which, how will you even know that the gold is there until you try to get it? And if you try to get it all, I mean, Germany tried to get it all out of the Federal Reserve, and they weren't successful.
That's Germany.
You understand? I mean, if they'll rob Germany, they'll rob you.
We have to move on. But I just want to say one more and about storage. Someone just told me the other day, this precious metals dealer is storing my gold up in North Dakota. Are you kidding me? You never allow a precious metals dealer store your gold for you. I mean, how do you know it's even there? I just don't get it. I mean, what do these people say to allow or to convince someone to say, okay, I'll let you store. Oh, they're a reputable dealer.
No, I give them a deal where they can buy their gold for $5 more or $5 less than they can pay someplace else. They say, oh, such a deal. We'll even store it with you because, look, you know, think about this.
I mean, come on.
They're going to give you that special deal. But they keep the gold? You don't have any gold. You just have a promise to pay in gold. That's all you have.
Well,
we're telling
gold.
You is take the gold in hand. And what you do with it after that is your business. But take the gold in hand and make sure you've got it.
I mean, that just baffles me. It truly does. Because it's so important. A gold dealer. Oh, well, he's a reputable firm. Really? Look at all the reputable firms that have been put out of business. Look at all the reputable firms that have gone bankrupt. Look at all the reputable firms. So come on, folks. I wouldn't do it. I think I am one of the most honest gold dealers in the country. And I would never take your gold to store. Because I believe you should own it. If you have an IRA, that's different. That is totally different. But for physical delivery, you always go that route, no matter what you know. It's just smart. States face a $1 trillion pension shortfall.
According to CNN Money.
Yeah.
U.S. is facing $1 trillion pension shortfall because states aren't paying enough money into their retirement plans for public workers. Just 15 states contributed enough into public pension plans in 2014 to both pay retiree benefits and start to pay down their debt. In 2014, the state-run pension systems had a $934 billion gap between benefits promised and how much is saved to fund those payments. Preliminary data shows that the funding gap will grow again in 2015, topping $1 trillion, thanks to weaker returns on investments. In other words, they've invested your pension. You put your money into the pension plan, and the pension plan is wise. That's why you invest, because these guys are smart. They understand the markets, see? And that's why we go into these pension plans, because these people are way smarter than we are. And the problem is, while they were really very smart, and for a while you're getting 7-8% return on the pension plans, and that was enough to fund. The retirement could happen. But now they're getting a percent or two, all right, because of low interest rates, and in some instances, even negative interest rates. And as a result, they have weaker return on investments. This is happening because the Federal Reserve and government have combined to hold the interest rates low, low, low. Why? Presumably so the government can borrow more money at extra low interest rates where they don't get clipped. Right? They don't want high interest rates. It's bad for borrowing. They want to be able to borrow for almost no cost. But if they can borrow for almost nothing, it means that the people who lend it, they're going to receive almost nothing in return for lending that money to the government and or the pension funds. State and local policy members, makers need to change their funding policies so they start paying down their pension debt, which means contributing more than 100% of the needed funding to meet benefit obligations. What they're saying here when they talk about paying down the debt, they're saying this year, your fair share. You're a member of the pension fund. Your fair share, in order to cover the people that are retiring, is going to cost you $500. But we're going to charge you another $250 on top of that to get out from under some of the debt we have. You've got to pay more than you can even expect to receive. All right? Well, again, we've talked about this in the past. And if you're relying on someone else to hold your money for you, you are trusting people in a way that history suggests is not particularly responsible. The pensions aren't going to take care of your wealth. The government's not going to take care of your wealth. The banks aren't going to take care of your wealth. Everybody says they're going to. I'm saying you should take care of your wealth. Let's take a break for some commercials. Melody and I will be right back. Please stay tuned.
Financial obligations or relationship problems have you feeling stressed out? When life is too much to handle, use Apothecary Herbs' emotional stress formula. Feel calm and more in control with herbs especially combined to provide the organic nutrition your system needs to help you cope. Complete instructions for maximum benefit and a money-back guarantee. You've waited long enough. Call Apothecary Herbs now. Toll free 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at the 3Ws dot thepowerherbs.com.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on American Voice Radio Network and Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm Alfred Addisk here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver. What's next, Melody?
Well, we all know the condition of Deutsche Bank. You know, it's, you know, some say it's already belly up and they're just holding on and grasping for the last breaths before the bank collapses. But the CEO, John Krein, he warned of fatal consequences, which I'm assuming he's referencing the Deutsche Bank, that could occur should the European Central Bank continue down the road of negative rates. And we certainly know the amount of money. We have 11. There's reports of 11 trillion. There's some all the way as high as 13 trillion in global sovereign debt that carries negative yields. And he's talking about these are fatal consequences should they continue down this road. Well, we know it's not going to change. You have government debt yields through large areas of Europe that are all carrying negative rates. Monetary policy, the goals that they have to strengthen the economy, to make banks safer, it just isn't working. And we see sort of the same thing here with our Federal Reserve. You know, they can't do anything to fix the problems. I mean, all the years that the Fed
They can do something to fix the problem, but what they have to do is get rid of the fiat currency, which is their number one product.
Right.
They can't fix the problem. It's like talking to somebody who grows tobacco. What are they going to talk to them about fixing the lung cancer problem? They can't fix the problem without going out of business. Same thing with the Federal Reserve. I think that's the reason why our current economic problems are such a mystery. They say, oh, this is so mysterious. Why is this happening? Because they can't admit the fundamental problem. We've got a fiat currency. It's a bunch of crapola. It's failed hundreds of times in human history. And it's going to fail again this time.
Yeah.
But the people who sell it, manufacture it, print it, take advantage of it, and that includes both the Federal Reserve and the government of the United States, they can't admit that's a problem. Put them both out of business. So we're left to muddle through.
And all we hear is on these central banks, you know, they saved us from the big collapse of 2008 and so forth. But really, look what they've done. They really have gone too far. And Kryon of the Deutsche Bank, he says the negative rate regime is working against the goals of strengthening the economies. He says Deutsche, of course, has its own problems. We know that there's the Europe's second largest bank. We know all the negative headlines. They're looking to cut more than 30,000 jobs over the next 2 years if they last. You know, they'll probably be probably more than that. And their shares have been down more than 50% this year. So, again, it's just another 2x4 heading your way, folks. You know, if you don't duck with gold, you're going to get hit.
No, that's what it comes down.
You're going to get hit hard.
You're going to need, you know, it's like you're headed for a foxhole. What do you want in that foxhole with you? You're going to need a rifle. You're going to need some bullets. You're going to need some gold. Then you got a Bible. I mean, that worst case scenario, that's what we're talking about, kind of living in a foxhole existence and what will help you under those circumstances. It won't be the paper script that's being handed out by the Federal Reserve and the United States government. You're going to need something real. Got an article here from the Boston Globe entitled, "The Hidden Risk to the Economy in Corporate Balance Sheets." Say America has a debt problem, but it's not what you think. Yes, the federal government owes trillions of dollars more than it did a few years ago. Yes, Americans are still struggling to pay off mortgages and student loans. But it's the buildup of debt elsewhere that's most worrisome to some experts. And the big borrower this time may come as a surprise, corporate America. Now, you might think that big U.S. corporations, if anything, have been too conservative in their finances. They've collectively hoarded hundreds of billions of dollars in cash. And we hear about that on a pretty regular basis, that corporations have stacked away. They've just putting it in bales and parking it down the basement or wherever. They're stashing billions of dollars in cash instead of spending it to hire workers or expand their operations. We've been aware of these stories for three, four, five years. but they say in the article, the reality is different and more worrisome. Much of the cash is held by just a precious few companies, while debt is ballooning at other weaker businesses as investors desperate for income rush to lend to these smaller, weaker companies. Why are they desperate for income, Melody?
You tell us, Al.
Well, because the Federal Reserve, in its infinite wisdom, has cut our interest rates so low that you can't make a buck on most by lending money. Mm-hmm. It's very difficult unless you are willing to take, you are willing to risk your capital by lending it in by purchasing junk bonds, which will pay a higher percentage if they ever pay anything at all, right? But this is what's happening. The debt is ballooning at other weaker businesses as investors desperate for income rush to lend to them. Why? Because, again, interest rates are so low. If you want to make anything, and you have to. It's like we're talking about pensions a little earlier in the program. And for prior, certainly, to the Great Recession, The pension plans that generate 6-8% a year return on their investment. All right, we could work with those numbers. That was enough to make sure people got their money when they retired. But now they're only getting 1-2%. It's not enough, and people understand that, and they are desperate. I've got to do something to fund my retirement. I got to make more money. I got to put it into something that'll pay an interest, a higher interest rate. What'll do that? Junk bonds. So we have people that are desperate to make a return because interest rates are so low and they are putting themselves in jeopardy. The article goes on. It says these investors could face losses, perhaps steep, if the economic growth falters. The broader economy is also vulnerable because companies with more debt have to cut back further to lay off more when more people, more employees, whenever the downturn hits. There's a misconception that companies are swimming in cash, says Andrew Chang, a director of Standard & Poor Global Ratings. They're actually drowning in debt. We've got a handful of companies, says, of the $1.8 trillion in cash that's sitting in U.S. corporate accounts. Half of it belongs to just 25 of the 2,000 companies tracked by Standard & Poor Global Ratings. Outside of Apple, Google, and the rest of the corporate 1%, cash has been falling over the last 2 years, even as the debt has been rising. Cash now covers only $15 of every $100 they owe, less than it did even during the financial crisis of 2008 when finances were crumbling. Right? They're saying they got $100 worth of debt. They've only got 15 bucks on average in cash to pay that debt. What are they going to do? Sell the secretary's desk? Sell her chair? Sell the monitors and the computers off the desks of the employees? What are they going to do if that debt hits the fan? They've only got 15 bucks on average cash for every 100 bucks they owe. All right? That puts them in, and they're not being productive enough, they're not being profitable enough to build that up. It says the number of companies that have defaulted so far this year has already passed the total for all of last year, which itself had the most since the financial crisis. So whatever they had last year, we're past the halfway mark, but we can say we're 40, 50% more than last year. Maybe more than that. I don't know that we're going to double, but we're going to probably wind up 70% higher this year than in terms of companies that have defaulted and therefore filed for bankruptcy. So the lesson in this article, again from the Boston Globe, is that while a lot of people thought that the corporations were squirreling away billions of dollars, and the corporations would therefore be able to weather whatever sort of storm turned up all of a sudden. If we had a real serious problem, the corporations would do, they'd be the perhaps the mule that would carry us through the problems, right, with all that cash. They point out what they've been doing. One of the things they point out in this article is that corporations, what they've been doing, they get the cash, yeah, they've squirreled a bunch of it away, and a lot of it they've gone out and just bought shares back, their own shares. They bought their own corporate stock. Why? Because if you've got 1 million shares out, and your earnings per share is $10. All right? Well, that may or may not be impressive to some people, but if you could buy half of those shares back and you only had 500,000 out, it would translate into $20 a share earnings. And a lot of people say, oh, wow, is this ever a strong corporation? These guys are really doing good. And all they've done really is cook the books. Mm-hmm. They've jiggered the accounts by using some of the cash they have to buy their own stock. And when they reduce the amount of stock that's held by the public, it effectively increases the earnings per share. And that impresses people. And then they buy more stock or whatever. But the whole thing is more smoke, more mirrors. Same sort of thing we see with the Federal Reserve, federal government, trying to get straight answers, again, like pulling teeth. So the point, regardless, is that corporations in this country, the big ones, they're probably doing fine. The biggest are doing fine, the top 1%. But the rest of them are in some trouble. They are vulnerable. They're not going to carry us through if push comes to shove, which tells us, again, leads us back to that same conclusion we hit on this program on a regular basis. If you want to get through, you should have savings of your own denominated in a form that's not likely to be dissolved and made to disappear in the event of some sort of an economic depression, recession, depression, calamity, crisis, whatever. Brings you back to gold, brings you back to silver. What else, Melody?
Well, these corporations, when they buy back their shares, they don't use their cash. They borrow because the rates are so cheap.
Yeah, that's right.
So they borrow.
Yeah, that's true.
And
that's true.
Because, and they've been holding their cash, but yeah, $15 for every $100 borrowed.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know, a little earthquake like Italy's had. You can have any type of a situation that can, you know, just change things drastically. You know, in a breath, things can change.
I understand. And how do you avoid, how do you weather those kinds of problems? And the way you weather them is by having savings.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And the kinds of problems that we're facing here, as we tell you repeatedly, there's a possibility that the fiat monetary system is going to go boom. And if it does, if your savings are denominated in U.S. dollars, it doesn't matter. You got $1 million in the bank. They could cause enough inflation or hyperinflation where your $1 million will only have $500,000 in purchasing power. You will lose your assets. And the government is saying, it tells us, governments around the world are fighting to cause inflation. They're doing it in China and Japan and Europe and here in the United States, complaining, oh my gosh, we don't have enough inflation. We've got to have 2% minimum. Got to have at least 2% inflation. That's what they're telling you. They want to create more inflation. Assuming they are successful when they create that inflation, it will rob you of your capital. If you've got your money stored in a bank, got it stored in a pension fund, got it stored in stocks and bonds and the rest of that, as the dollar is devalued by inflation and becomes worth less than it is right now, so does your wealth. Your wealth is eroded, eradicated, and there you sit because you've trusted in people's promises that are written on a piece of paper. And you say, oh, I'm a wealthy guy. I've got some paper. That's the one outfit that's selling Perth Mint, apparently selling gold you can fold.
catchy line.
Do I want gold I can fold for? I mean, the whole idea of this program, at least, is that you got to get away from that. Paper's not going to work. There's too much debt out there. They can't pay all the debt, which tells us sooner or later they must default on the debt. And they either default by inflation or they default by outright just coming out and say, sorry, boys, we can't pay. You can't pay the money that we owe you because we're broke, busted, and bankrupt and too bad for you. That would be the government. That would be an overt debt default. But they could have a covert debt default. And they've been doing that for years and getting away with it. And that covert, sneaky, secret, kind of invisible debt default. It's called inflation. We're going to pay however much money we borrowed, we're going to pay it back with cheaper dollars. We're going to rob our creditors. We've all been encouraged to do it. If we bought a house and took out a mortgage, someone told you that you could pay the mortgage back with cheaper dollars. That's based on inflation. Say, yippee, I get to beat the bank out of some money because of inflation. But that inflation doesn't only work for you, it also works against you. Got any money in a savings account, stocks, bonds, pension funds, Social Security, promises anywhere? If it's the promises denominated in dollars and we go into inflation, that is a default. You will not get full payment on whatever is owed to you. That's what inflation is. It is a debt default. People don't like to look at it that way, and I don't think many people think of it that way, but that's what it is. We're coming to a time when they're going to default. They have to. Maybe this year, maybe 5 years from now, I say that all the time. I don't know when, but they must default. And when they do, they will either default by going into high levels of inflation, maybe hyperinflation, or which people don't understand too well. You can blame it on forces other than the government, or the government can just come up and say, whoops, you'll never believe this, but we're busted, baby, we're broke. They won't come out and admit they're broke. It implies the government must, in order to deal with its debt, it must cause significant inflation, and if that's true, the way you protect yourself is get some gold. We're going to take a break for some commercials. Melody and I will be right back on Financial Survival. Please stay tuned.
Make the aspirin mistake. Aspirin was discovered by mistake during World War II and suppresses your immune system and prevents blood clotting. Don't expose your body to risk when you can use a natural inflammation and pain reliever called Extra Strength Pain Relief by Apothecary Herbs. Discover the power this formula has with salicin to enter the system in 60 seconds to work hard and relieve pain for 12 hours. Whether it's arthritis, sports injury, or flu, you can relieve aches, pain, and swelling with our Extra Strength Pain Relief formula. Call Apothecary Herbs now, toll-free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at the 3Ws.thepowerherbs.com.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Folks, I'm Alfred Adisk here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. What's next, Melody?
We have a few more specials that are left over with the 1/2 ounce American Gold Eagle and 90% silver quarters and dimes. $20 face value includes your shipping cost, $1,026. So very good price, and but you must give us a call, 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Make sure you visit our website at dgscoins.com, dgscoins.com.
Got a couple articles on Mr. Trump. Here's one from Politico. Headline is Trump advisor Judy Shelton goes for gold. Shelton, one of the new members of Donald Trump's Economic Advisory Council, is an outspoken critic of the U.S. monetary system and has suggested for years moving to what she argues would be a more stable standard, potentially linked to gold. That's not quite as aggressive as I would have hoped to read from the headline, but just the same. Trump is bringing people, at least one person, into his staff that is pro-gold. Right? He's going to need her. He's going to need somebody up there to tell him, look, here's what's going on. We will vote for or against each of the candidates in hopes that they'll do something to strengthen our economy and restore a certain level of prosperity and one thing or another. But the truth of the matter is that we've got so much debt out there that there isn't much that either one of them can do except find the most graceful way to deal with this debt problem. Then find the way that's not just most graceful but most painless. But the one that's most painless will still be painful. We're not going to get away from that debt problem. Right? It's too big to be paid. It can't be paid. It must be defaulted significantly. The national debt must, to a significant degree, be defaulted. And probably the same is true with corporate debt and private debt and one thing or another like that. We are way too, and it's not just in this country, around the world. There's too much debt. Can't all be paid. It must be defaulted one way or another. That debt has to be disposed of. And when it happens, people are going to be hurt badly because we are treating debt as if it's an asset, and it's not. They wipe out the debt. They wipe out the correlative asset. If you've got a bond worth $100,000 and the government says, guess what? We can't pay the debt. You just lost $100,000. Your paper asset is merely a memorial of the debt. The debt can't be paid. Your paper asset is worthless. That's why we keep telling you, get out of paper, get into something tangible like gold. We're not going to have an easy time. This is one of the problems, and I don't believe you can elect anyone to public office who's going to be able to resolve this problem painlessly. We're going to have the problem. It's just a question of how stupid we become when the problem finally jumps up and says, boo. Will we have someone in office who will cater to the mob and do things that are stupid but which sound like a good idea? Is that who we're going to have in office? Will we have someone in office who's going to look at the problem and say, look, we got a mess here. And the only way we're going to get through it is we're going to have to buckle down and work together and solve this problem. And maybe not just solve it, but endure it. Wait until the fever breaks and we are once again ready to go back to work. I'm inclined to think that Trump is less likely to cape to pander to the mob than Clinton. I think she'll say anything to anybody. But in any case, Trump advisor Judy Shelton goes for gold. Well, that's a good sign. It's not the best sign in the world you could hope for, but it's a good sign. Here's another one. I had one for Trump, and what did I do with it, Melody? Here it is. Trump calls Clinton a bigot at surreal rally with United Kingdom Independence Party leader. This is from Yahoo News. The headline, again, Trump calls Clinton a bigot at surreal rally. Yahoo News really offended me, all right, for the last 6 months, because they are staunchly and ferociously in favor of Clinton and absolutely opposed to Donald Trump. It doesn't matter what Trump does, doesn't matter what he says. They will try to twist it one way or another and disparage it to the limit of their ability.
Well, Yahoo News isn't the only one.
Well, I know they're not the only one, but it's still, I wind up, because I use Yahoo for my email, I wind up seeing Yahoo News on a regular basis, and it really does. I mean, they could say Trump calls Clinton a bigot at rally with UK Independence Party. Okay. Why did they inject the word surreal? Huh? I don't see that. There's nothing in the article to suggest that this rally in Jackson, Mississippi. Nothing in there to suggest it was surreal. Right? They had a rally. That was it. But they've got to lay on just another level of insult. It was a surreal rally. Okay, it was just another rally.
A lot of the news media, they don't like the Deep South.
They don't like Trump. I don't know.
You know, I love you guys. Talk too fast, but no. Go ahead.
Oh, I don't know. It's Trump called Hillary, said Hillary Clinton is a bigot who sees people of color only as votes, not as human beings worthy of a better future. I agree with that statement. Some people are saying it's radical, it's insensitive to call Hillary a bigot. The truth of the matter is, who really believes she cares about minorities?
You know what, Al, it's just not Clinton. It's been the Democratic Party as a whole that have...
I agree. Exploited.
Absolutely.
Yeah, yeah.
So, you know, just to pinpoint, she is a presidential, candidate, and I get that. But it has been the whole... It's all Democratic Party.
Yep. He goes on, he says, she's going to do nothing for African Americans. She's going to do nothing for Hispanics. She's only going to take care of herself, her husband, her consultants, her donors. These are the people she cares about. And I say that's a true statement. Might not be a pleasant statement, but it's a true statement. Then they go on, the sharp jab punctuated an unusual and somewhat surreal rally in the Deep South, where the celebrity businessman was joined on stage by Nigel Farage, the outgoing leader of the United Kingdom's Independence Party. Farage was principal architect of the successful Brexit movement, in which the United Kingdom voted earlier this summer to leave the European Union. I don't know if you've ever seen Nigel Farage, brilliant guy, brilliant, articulate speaker. The guy is funny. He's got an extraordinary wit. I mean, this is not a man you want to debate with. You better be good, and you better have all the facts and truth and everything else that better be on your side, because he's going to make you look like an idiot. Farage is a brilliant individual. Trump has repeatedly likened his own campaign to Brexit in arguing for a peaceful regime change in the United States on Election Day. And that's what we're talking about, getting rid of the establishment, or at least cutting them down to size by electing someone who is presumably not really part of the political establishment. That would be Trump. And that's why people in the Republican Party, Democrat, that are lifelong politicians, they can't stand Trump. They don't care if he's a Republican. They don't care if they're Democrats. All they care is they hang on to their power as members of the establishment. And Trump threatens that. All by itself, that's a compelling reason why a lot of people should say, you know, I don't know very much about Trump, but if he makes the establishment mad, I think I'm going to vote for him.
What I don't understand is, why is Farage hanging around our elections? Why is he hanging around Trump? He was at the Republican convention. He's showing up, and it's just like, he's just not doing it because he doesn't have anything else to do. There has to be a reason other than, you know, he hasn't come out and you know, actually supported, he shows up.
He's supporting him, but he hasn't endorsed him.
He has not expressly endorsed Trump,
but he has said he wouldn't vote for Hillary if you paid him.
Why someone who was the architect of Brexit be hanging around, you know?
Well, at least, again, the movements are similar. No one can doubt that. I mean, he's got to be sitting there saying, you know, it's perhaps good business for him to sit back and say, we've already got Brexit out of the establishment to some degree, or England out of the establishment to some degree by means of Brexit. And if Trump can pull the United States away from the establishment, if that happens, well, then there's certain commonality between England and the United States that people might not have expected.
Well, isn't that grand?
I'm not so sure
it's a good thing.
It's politics.
Farage particularly, he was one of the first ones that dropped out, you know, during the election night, and then he came back on, and it didn't seem like they seemed to follow through. They got what they wanted, they got the Brexit, but after they got the vote, then they just sort of disappeared, and
He retired, at least from his role in Brexit. He worked for it for, I think, a decade, maybe even 15 years. I don't know how long he worked.
Yeah, and look what happened to it. You get someone who replaces Cameron with the same mindset and so forth, and, you know, what really has changed? Nothing yet.
The point is, he got the vote. The vote did go through. And what's going to happen now? I don't know exactly. No one else does either. But, you know, we're going to, in theory, England is going to step back away from the European Union.
They're still in charge. So, anyway.
Yeah, maybe they are, but not to the same degree. And now there's openings and opportunities for more ordinary people to work their way up.
I'm not saying it's a bad thing that Brexit was a bad thing. I'm just trying to always see and think as far as you know, there's always something more to it than. So my question.
You know what they say, don't you, Melody?
My question is Farage. You know why his. You know what relationship does he truly is
comic relief
with Trump?
Comic relief, Melody. That's probably why they brought him up here.
Said he was funny.
And in any case, you were talking about staying in sync. I'm just saying that's their motto, sink or swim, Melody.
Okay.
Now, that may not amuse you, but that's the sort of thing that really appeals to my sense of humor. There's one more, folks. This is just...
I'm sorry for you,
then. Yeah, well, a lot of people express their sympathy, and we'll set up a fund where you can make donations.
Yes.
Here's something from Drive Magazine. Now, this has nothing, little or nothing to do with economics, but still, it's a pretty amazing article. The headline is, The Tesla Model SP100D is here. Does 0 to 60 in 2.5 seconds. You understand that? I mean, the rumors are true. Tesla, for those of you who don't know, Tesla has manufactured the first, well, I won't say the first, but perhaps the most successful all-electric vehicle. Right, and the prices started at $75,000 for the first Tesla sedan coming out, and they went up to, that's if you only had electric motors on two of the wheels. If you had them on all four wheels, I believe it went up to something like $150,000, $125,000, I don't recall clearly. All right, but now they've got it, and it was an extraordinary car. It's been out for, I suppose, 3 years now, I'm not sure, four at the most, but made headlines all over. Most of you should have seen it or heard of it.
Mm-hmm.
And says the rumors were true. Tesla officially unveiled a new and disturbingly quick model called the Model SP100D. Not only is the P100D the electric automaker's quickest car yet, but with its claimed 0 to 60 time of 2.5 seconds, it's even in the running for the title of the fastest accelerating production car in the world. And this is a family sedan. We're not talking about something that looks like a Corvette. We're talking about a four-door vehicle that can go 0 to 60 in 2.5 seconds. I don't know. You know, would I want one? I might like to have one. I don't know if I'd ever drive it. I mean, if your foot just touches the gas a little bit too much, holy cow. It requires some real responsibility to drive a vehicle that can go 0 to 60 in 2.5 seconds. But the starting price on the vehicle is $134,500, Melody. And I was just going to say, from what I understand, if you want to buy two of them, all right, they'll knock $100 off on the second one. So I was just going to say, Melody, you know, if you wanted to get two of these, they're only $130. Maybe you'd get two and you could send one to me. I don't know. But in any case, 0 to 60 in 2.5 seconds, I can't imagine that. It's just astonishing to me. And $134,500 family sedan Tesla. Get one if you want one. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival, and we're out of time. So we have to go bye-bye. Back tomorrow. In the meantime, may the good Lord bless you and me and Melody and Frank, the producer. Bye.
I work all night, I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay. There never seems to be a single penny left for me.
That's too bad.
In my dreams, I have a plan. If I got me a wealthy man, I wouldn't have to work at all. I'd fool around and have a ball.
Money, money, money. Money in a rich man's world. Money, money, money.